Welcome to DCU's Teaching Enhancement Unit Podcasts, an audio discovery series for teaching and learning in higher education.
Hello and welcome to today's podcast. My name is Dr. Fiona O'Riordan and I'm an academic developer in the Teaching Enhancement Unit in DCU. Today, I'm in conversation with my colleague, Dr. Rob Galanders, about designing assessment to promote academic integrity. So let's begin with you introducing yourself, please, Rob.
Hi, Fiona. So I'm Rob Galanders. I'm an economist in the business school. I'm just closing in on my fifth anniversary of working in DCU. And I teach a bunch of economics modules across our business degrees and our economics, politics and law degree that we teach with law and government. And I also teach some of our critical thinking modules that we've introduced for our business studies or business programs more generally.
Thank you, Rob. And congratulations on your 5-year anniversary.
Thanks.
So what module are we going to talk about today, Rob?
So I thought might best fit the bill of kind of promoting academic integrity is public choice, which is an elective for the final year economics, politics and law students primarily. It's 5 credits and generally it's somewhere between 30 and 50 students opt to take the class.
Wonderful. Thanks a million. Can you tell us a little bit now about the assessment design that you're going to talk to us about today?
So the assessment I'm going to talk about is the assessment from the previous academic year for this class, where we were in the having all the fun with the online teaching. Prospect which filled me with dread because not so great with the old tech. So what I did was I took an idea I'd had from an extracurricular activity I've been running with students for many years, and I kind of built the module around this assessment. And the assessment was essentially turning the classes into a discussion group. So every week, instead of me kind of standing up with my piece of chalk and my, you know, and my graphs and my equations about economics and all that arcane stuff, what I did was I found 22 actual peer-reviewed journal articles that students could undergraduate students could kind of engage with that spoke to the learning objectives of the module, which were things like corruption and voting, why people vote in particular ways and why they don't, the kind of economic analysis of kind of constitutional structures and stuff like that. So I found a bunch of papers that spoke to those things. And what the students had to do was they had to read one of the two assigned readings for each week and critique the paper briefly. And then their critiques would serve as the basis for the discussion, and they were graded on a pass-fail basis for their kind of one-page critique of the paper.
That sounds really interesting, Rob. And by default, they have to, in some way, perhaps not defend, but at least converse about the article that they've read in relation to the piece of work, the one page that they submitted to you.
Absolutely. So I think the class was a Friday, and they had to submit their little critique by the end of the day on Wednesday, which gave me and the TA who I was working with, Kira Reardon, who's excellent. We had Thursday to grade these things, but not so much grade them because the grading was easy, it's pass fail, but to harvest a bunch of comments that we could use to seed the discussion the following day. So we had kind of, Johnny, you made a good point about the data that was used in this paper. Would you care to elaborate? Yes. Fiona, would you like to speak about your concerns about the context or, you know, whatever. So in that sense, it was, Johnny and Fiona would have to be very brave to cheat at that because they were likely to be called up to elaborate or defend their standpoint in front of their, you know, me and their peers, the TA.
Excellent. I really like that. And how many, you did this with 50, did you, every week?
So I think it was 50. So what I did was that was too big. So, I mean, the genesis of this idea was, as I said, an extracurricular thing I've been doing with groups of about 10 final year students. Right. Over the years, 10 is not a bad number for people to actually speak up, in my experience. So 50 was daunting. So what I did was I split the group into two to begin with, the class into two. I said, you know, first group, you're on a 10, second group, you're on an 11. And then because we had all these extra TA resources, and again, Kira was a wonderful colleague, and you know, the TA resources were transformational and continue to be transformational. So we half in a 10 o'clock showing and an 11 o'clock showing, and then randomly within those groups, people were allocated to one or two breakout rooms, one with me and one with Kira. So that got the numbers down to about 12, 10 to 12. And that was a good basis for a discussion.
Excellent. And did you stay in those random groups then for the entire hour?
Yes. No, we for about 40 minutes, and then we reconvene towards the end of the hour. And, you know, I'd say, hey, Kira, what came up in your group? Anything, you know, what was the general tenor? And, you know, we got a little kind of sum up of what we discussed and what we concluded. And again, you know, myself and Kira had a good idea about what was going to come up from having read the reports. But still, sometimes there were kind of things that were bigger in one of the groups than others. And it was nice to sum up. Although it was definitely the case that people were quieter when we were in groups of 25 than when we were in our smaller groups of 12. So I do think there's some magic number for making this thing work.
Yeah. Excellent. That's really good. Thanks. And I guess if you're looking for those journal articles that speak to the topics in a very direct way, the preparation for this must have been quite significant, was it?
Yeah. You know, I've been teaching this module for a number of years in a kind of a more traditional kind of lectures and class notes kind of way. So I knew the material quite well, but there was no point in getting them to read a chapter of a textbook. I thought it wasn't, you know, not enough kind of detail to critique in, you know, specific things. And so I had to spend a good chunk of time finding not just papers that were relevant, but ones that were amenable to students who were, you know, on their way to having a degree in economics, but maybe not quite there with the technical skills that you would expect from someone who was already in graduate school, say. So there was a lot of preparation, but it was all very rewarding. And actually, you know, reading 20 odd papers that maybe I wouldn't necessarily have read otherwise gave me better appreciation for some of the subject material, and also gave me a research idea or two as well along the way.
That's really good.
Well, you know, when you tell 50 students to critique something, you got to critique it yourself. And I found a few gaps in the literature, I suppose.
Really good. So every cloud is a silver lining, as they say. That's good to hear. Rob, how did your students respond to this assessment approach?
I mean, the feedback was quite positive. I will say, I mean, the fact that they had to do this every week, they found somewhat, at least at the start, I think they found that to be a bit disconcerting, that there was a weekly assessment to be submitted. Maybe wasn't what they were used to when it comes to economics modules. But I certainly think that once they got over the hump of that, they found it beneficial. Comments that I've had in the past or during the module and in the kind of the extracurricular version where that it helps them to kind of separate the wheat from the chaff when it comes to picking what should be in assessments for other modules. In other words, once they develop that kind of critical faculty for kind of the primary units of the science, they were better able to engage with material for other essays and assignments. A number of them suggested that it helps them to feel that they actually can go on to do graduate school in economics or quantitative social science more generally, that they feel that, you know, they can see the point of their toolkit a little bit more clearly.
That's all very positive, and that's a very nice outcome for final year students. So well done.
I would prefer if it was an outcome I was able to engineer for first year students, but maybe someday. That's not okay. If one of my betters is listening, that's not me volunteering to teach first year economics.
Yeah, just make that disclaimer. Own up to that immediately. Thanks, Rob, for that. And just before we finish up, can you give some advice to any other academics who might consider using this. It's really good. I think it's very strong. And certainly given the students that level of agency in their module, the research shows us that it does indeed promote academic integrity and reduce the risk of cheating. So what would you recommend or advise other academics to do if they're going to use this approach?
First of all, I would recommend doing it either as part of a module or as a kind of an extracurricular thing. It really is one of the most rewarding things I've ever done on the teaching side of the job. I think it helps helps people to feel that they can go on and do further study or work in the field, and that's no bad thing. In terms of using it as an assessment, I do think it promotes academic integrity because, you know, the better able they are to engage with stuff in a more honest, less copy-pasty kind of way, almost mechanically, that'll promote academic integrity. So I would do it, and I would try and do it as an assessment. I think be clear of the resource requirements for doing something like this. As I said, you know, there was only 50 students, but it still meant that me and the TA had to clear, you know, the better part of a Thursday every week just to grade these very short assessments. Maybe you could get away with not having it every week, but having it every 2 weeks. Okay. I think that could work. But yeah, generally I would encourage colleagues to give it a try because it's good for the students, and I found it was good for me too.
Thanks, Rob. And there's no doubt about it, it is authentic. I mean, these students are going to have to engage in this type of literature as they go through their lives and certainly go through the next stage in their learning journey. So it's an authentic assessment approach. Thank you so much for sharing your experience with me and any other colleagues who are listening to the podcast. And I look forward to chatting to you again soon, Rob. Thank you.
An absolute pleasure, Fiona. Thanks.